going to go to the book of Mark this morning, if you got your Bible. Mark chapter 5 is where we're headed. We've been in our series called This Is My Story. And today we are going to continue in that series, how God is rewriting our story. And you've got tags in your seats again today. And so you want to just take one of those and maybe go ahead and grab a pen, because I'm going to have you write something on that tag ahead of time, and you can just hold that with you this morning. So I want you to do just kind of a thought experiment with me just for a few minutes. I want us to imagine that you and your family are getting ready to go on vacation. How many of you, that's a great thought? You'll go on that journey with me, okay? So this morning, I just want you to imagine that you and your family are getting ready to go on vacation. And you leave and you're going to go away for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. That'd be great, right? So, and while you're away, somebody breaks into your house. You say, this just took a bad turn. Somebody breaks into your home and they move in. They move their stuff into your house, their things, their clothes, their mess into your house, all their Xboxes and PlayStations and all that kind of stuff, whatever that looks like. They come in and they just begin to make themselves a home in your house. They park their car in your garage. They have commandeered your Lazy Boy. They now have your remote control, and they were watching their shows on your TV. And you come home and you find all this, and you're trying to get them to leave, but you cannot get them to leave. And you're trying to figure out, how are you going to get them to leave? And that's a problem, right? You have a problem. Squatters are a problem in America today, right? You've probably heard how some of these things have transpired. Now, maybe that's a little bit of an oversimplification of what I just described to you this morning, but this kind of scenario does happen in our country, in a lot of large cities, and actually even rural areas. We've seen this happen. And so what I want you to do is, on that tag that you have this morning, I want you to write the words, no trespassing. I want you to write the words, no trespassing. There you go. Thank you, Oba. No trespassing this morning. Just write that. And spell it right. I didn't spell it right last night when I spelled it. I had T-R-E-S-S. There is only one S at the beginning. T-R-E-S. So no trespassing. I want you to write that on your tag. And I just want you to hold on to that this morning, because that's going to come back around at the end of this message. Today we're going to talk about a story about a guy who's at trespassing in his own life, and that's where we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 5. And this happens probably in a little more subtler ways and in our lives today, but the same thing still happens. And so I want us to go read in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, and they came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and had wrenched the chains apart, and had broken the shackles into pieces. And no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying and bruising himself with stones. And when Jesus saw him from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to come. He was saying to him, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. And now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs and let us enter them. And so he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and were drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to see that Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to them what had happened, how the demon-possessed man and what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So we've been in these stories over the last few weeks, and just the first questions that I've had is, what have you noticed in these stories? What are some of the things that have stood out to you when we go through these stories? And I ask the same thing again today. What do we notice? What do we find here? The first thing that we find here is that Jesus, once again, is in the region of the Sea of Galilee. He has made his trek into this place called the Decapolis. The Decapolis was a region of 10 cities. Obviously, Decapolis city would be 10 cities. And so Jesus is in this region. This is not a Jewish region. This is a Gentile region. And so they live life a lot differently there. But Jesus travels there. He goes there. It's not far from where he lives in Galilee. He crosses into this region. It's not far from the story we talked about last week. And so Jesus crosses into this region. And it is an unclean territory by Jewish standards. This is an unclean place by Jewish standards of that day. And this man that Jesus encounters, he's living in isolation. He's not just living in the graveyard. He's living in isolation, which would be living in isolation if you're living in a graveyard. I don't know many people that want to live in the graveyard, right, or live close to one. This man is living in isolation, and he is uncontrollable. They can't control him. He is tormented, and he is self-destructive. This is his life. This is his existence. In this place that he's living in, this region of the Gerasenes, in the city of the Gerasenes. And this man sees Jesus coming, and he encounters Jesus. Everybody else avoids this man. Maybe you have people that you know like that. You got people that you avoid? You know, you ain't got to raise your hand. I know you do. There are people that you avoid, right? You see them in the grocery store, you duck down the other aisle. Actually, maybe you just leave the store altogether. I don't know. But there are people that you avoid. This is someone that all the people in this town avoided. They didn't want to be near him. They did not, they didn't trust him, right? They actually chained him up, and they did not chain him for his benefit so he couldn't hurt himself. They chained him for their benefit because they wanted to be protected from this man. And so they didn't really care about this man. All they cared about how this man responded to them. And so they would try to chain him up. But he was uncontrollable. He was tormented. And he was self-destructive. Society had chained him up to protect themselves. Everyone avoided him. Everyone except for Jesus. And this man encounters Jesus. And Jesus steps out of the boat. And this man runs to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't avoid him. What does Jesus do? Jesus does what? He confronts him. He confronts him. And this is what we see. We see this happening all throughout Scripture where God is confronting these evil spirits. God confronts these false gods. He confronts these things that hold us captive and hold us hostage. And Jesus does that here. He confronts this man, and he confronts the demons that are in this man. And so Jesus isn't afraid of this man's mess. He's already moving toward it with mercy. Right? And Jesus isn't afraid of your mess. He's already moving toward you with mercy. And I want you to understand that, because I think sometimes you say, "Well, I'm not demon-possessed," but you can feel consumed sometimes. I know. There are times in your life where there are things that you experience, and it consume your thoughts. It'll consume your life. And you say, "Well, I don't feel like I'm possessed like that, but yeah, I have been consumed." And so you need to understand this, that Jesus doesn't avoid our messes. Jesus confronts our messes. Jesus confronts our demons. Jesus confronts the things that consume us. And then he moves toward us with what? Mercy. He moves toward us with mercy. And that's how he moved toward this man. He's moving toward this man with mercy. And what does Jesus do? He's already saying, "Hey, you come out of him." And these demons, they're reacting to this. And Jesus does what he asked them, or he asked the man his name. And this man is so overcome with demons that he can't even respond for himself. In the ancient Jewish culture, naming something was about authority and relationship. It was about you establishing authority and establishing the kind of relationship that you're going to have with this. And so what Jesus does is he asked this man his name, and the man had lost who he was. He had lost his name. He had lost his identity, and the demons answered for him. And that's what happens, is that addictions will rename us. Shame will rename us. Trauma wants to rename us. All these things that we experience, all these things that try to consume us, they want to rename us. And so when these demons cry out and they say, "We are legion," and if you understand what a legion is, a legion in the Roman military was 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So if you can imagine that this man was full of anywhere between 4,000 to 6,000 demons, right? That there's a lot going on in this man. You have to also understand this, that this wasn't just a name, that it was a claim. This wasn't just a name of what was happening in this man's life. It was a claim on this man's life. Because what would the Romans do? The Romans would send out a legion of soldiers to do what? To claim a territory. So when you see the demons moving into this man's life and they say, "Hey, we are legion," what they are not just saying, they're not just saying, "Hey, we're here and we're running muck." We are laying claim to this man's life. We're laying claim to who this man used to be. And a Roman legion would claim territory. And the demons were saying, "This man belongs to us now." And that's exactly what the enemy would want to say about you. That's exactly what the enemy would want to say about your life. You belong to us now. That's what the enemy would want to say to every one of us, no matter what trouble or problem that we're confronting or fighting or battling. He wants to lay claim to your life, and he wants to lay claim to your soul. And this legion of demons had laid claim to this man's life. And you got to understand this, that many people today, see, we're not overwhelmed by just one problem, are we? We're overwhelmed by a lot of problems. We're overwhelmed by, that's usually what the case is that we have more than one thing going on. We have more than one thing that we're battling. And so many people today, we're overwhelmed not just by one problem, but by a combination of habits and traumas and anxiety and addiction. These are the things that just kind of overwhelm us, and we feel like we have a war inside of us. You ever been there? You ever felt like that, that there's a war taking place in your brain, in your spirit, in your heart, in your emotions? And it's just like all this is happening, all this is going on, and it's warfare. And Jesus sees that. Sometimes we don't always recognize that. And sometimes our world doesn't always recognize that. I believe this. You say, "Pastor, you believe in demons?" I believe in Jesus, okay? Let me make a distinction here. I believe that demons exist, but I believe that Jesus is the greatest authority in all the universe. And that is where my faith lies. And I don't go around looking for devils, and I don't go around looking for demons, but they are here. There is a very real spiritual world that we can't always see, but we will interact with it all the time. It will mess with us all the time. And so Jesus sees this very clearly in this man's life. And what the people saw of that city, they just saw a problem. They just saw something they tried to chain up. Jesus saw a person. person, and he saw something he needed to unloose. He saw someone that needed to experience deliverance. And so this legion of demons had laid claim and was renaming this man. And that's what the devil will always try to do. The devil always tries to rename what he doesn't own. I want you to get that. Where do we see that in our culture today? Where the devil will always try to rename or call it something else. And it's not his. It's not his to rename, but this is what we see. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. This is what it says. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." All right? See, we are not even our own. You're not Satan's. You're not the demons. Right? You don't belong to them, although they want to lay claim to you. And you say, "I need to have my own autonomy back." No, you don't. You don't even want that. You were created to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't even belong to you. Do you realize that? I think that's some of the problem right there, that we want to try to own our own life and we want to try to do our own thing. And then when we do our own thing, we're releasing and we're letting go of what God wants for us, and we begin to step away from that. And it's not long before we can be consumed by what this world wants to do in our life because we've tried to own our own situation. We have to understand that we do not belong to ourselves. You don't own you. You belong to Jesus. You are His creation. From the very outset, from the very get-go, when you took your first breath, God breathed life into you. He did that for you. He kick-started the whole process. So you are not your own. You belong to Him. But sometimes we want to own ourselves. And then when we do that, a lot of times we wind up giving that ownership over to something else or someone else. And that's what's happening here. When Jesus came to ask His name, it's not because He didn't know His name. It's because He wanted to restore His name. Jesus wants to do a restoration in every one of us. He wants to do a restoring work in our lives. He wants to do a restoring work in this world. And He's always going to confront these things in our life. He's always going to step to confront these demons and devils in our life. And you can see this track if you will track through the stories of Scripture, if you will track through the movement of the people of Israel. There are different places where God was always confronting the devils. He was always confronting the demons. He was always confronting the fake and false gods that tried to rule over them. If you go to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, what happened in Egypt? There were 10 plagues that took place in Egypt that God sent to take place in Egypt. And every one of them, they had a false deity behind them. Every one of them had a false god behind it. Every one of them had something, some kind of power that it said is behind it. And what did God do? He stepped to confront every one of them. Every time that they would come to a mountain, even when you see them come to the Mount Zion or Mount Sinai, after they come out of after they come out of Egypt, they come to this place, this mountain, and this mountain was supposed to be ruled by this god Baal-Zephon. And so when they come to this mountain, it's like all the people around knew, oh, this mountain belongs to somebody else. This mountain belongs to this regional god. But what we see is Yahweh just blow the mountain up. He comes right down on the top of that thing and sets it on fire and says, "Who owns what? I own everything. You were my children. And Egypt doesn't lay claim on you. And the demons of Egypt cannot lay claim on you. You were my children." And see, guys, this is what we have to get. This is the story. The story is deliverance over and over and over and over and over in our lives. It's deliverance that Jesus wants to bring us and make us His own, where we don't make our own self our God, right? We give over our rights. We say, "Lord, we belong to You. We give our life to You. We trust You, and so we submit to Your authority." And when we submit to the authority of Jesus, every other thing that tries to make us submit to that, to that authority or that they think they have, that power that they think they have, they have to submit to Jesus. And that's what we see here, that Jesus, he confronts this man, and he confronts the demons inside of this man. And it's not because Jesus is just trying to pick a fight. Jesus wants this man's restoration. And so what happens in the story, the third thing that happens in the story is this, is that Jesus sends the demons into the pigs, right? This is the first time that we see deviled ham. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm going to say that one two more times, okay? So, if you're in here for three services, just act like you heard it the first time, okay? All right. I got a kick out of that one when I thought about it. Jesus sends these demons into the pigs. And what happens? These pigs reveal what the demons were trying to do inside this man. These pigs reveal exactly what was happening inside of this man, because they run down the bank, they run down the hill, and they drown themselves in the sea. And that's exactly what the demons were wanting to do in this man. They were trying to destroy him. They were trying to destroy who he was, and it was leading him into self-destruction. See, we can blame a lot of stuff on a lot of people. But if we look at our life, how much of the destruction that happens in our life is self-destruction? How much is it because we've done things and we've allowed things to come in, and it's just like we destroy ourselves because we make choices and decisions that go against what God wants, and we live in rebellion and we live in opposition. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're choosing self-destruction. And so what happens with these pigs is exactly what was going on inside of this man. These demons were trying to get this man to self-destruct, and that's what happened with the pigs. And see, why did they want to go into the pigs? Why? These demons always prefer a host, all right? And Jesus tells us gives us a little insight in Matthew 12 and 43. It says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but it finds none, right? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? What are they seeking? They're seeking rest, you know, but they can't find any rest because they're always in rebellion to God. They're always in rebellion to who God is. But what does God want for us? He wants what for us? He wants rest for us. That's an entire commandment. Do you get that? Does somebody need to tell you to chill out and take a break and rest? It's biblical. You should. You should have those days where you kick your feet up and don't do anything. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just about taking a day off. See, these demons, they're looking for rest and they can't find it. Because rest is what? Rest is a gift from God. And when you live in submission and when you live under God's authority, you get the benefits of God's authority. You get the benefits of submission to Jesus. And the benefits of submission to Jesus look like what? They look like rest. Because what does he say? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will do what? I'll give you rest. Anybody, you tired? You've been fighting a lot of demons. You've been fighting a lot of battles. It's like this war that's inside of you. And it's just like, man, I just wish I could get some rest. Just wish I could find some peace. See, that's all a gift from God. That's all a gift, and that's what Jesus wants to give this man here, and that's what he's given this man here. When he confronts these demons, it's not he's confronting this man's mess. He is bringing mercy with him, and so Jesus sends these demons out of this man and sends them into the pigs. And I love how we end out this story. I love how we come to the end of this passage. And what happens? Jesus restores the man. This is what it says. It says, and when they came to Jesus, all the people, right? They were scared. Jesus had already messed up somebody's business model, okay, because they just lost 2,000 pigs. They were upset about that. They didn't care about this man at all. They just wanted to make sure the man didn't mess up their business. And so Jesus, they're scared of Jesus. They're not happy with Jesus. And so they're asking Jesus, hey, you got to go. You need to go back to where you came from. But Jesus restores this man, and it says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, what? Dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They should be afraid. So what happens when you live in opposition to God, when you live in opposition to what God wants to do, you better be afraid of that. God will always win. And so this man was clothed, he was dressed, and he was in his right mind. Jesus did what nobody else could do. Jesus did what nobody else wanted to do. Do you get that? There are some people, they just don't care anything about you. They don't care anything about you, and they don't want anything good for you. But see, Jesus cares about you, and he wants good for you. That's why he created you. He created you for good. That's when we see in Genesis where it says, oh man, I created man and woman. So this is good. This is very good. You're created for good. But there's some people that don't want any good for you. But God wants good for you. And he wants you to want good for yourself. And this man was dressed and he was in his right mind. And what did he do? He wants to follow Jesus. Where Jesus in the last story that we talked about, Jesus healed this man, and he didn't send him home, right? He healed this person, and he didn't send them home. I didn't send them back to the village. But this is a different story. This is a little bit different town. Because in this story, we see, what does Jesus do? This man wants to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, nope, you can't go with me. But this is how you're going to follow me. You can still follow me, but you can't go with me. I will go with you, but I want you to follow me by doing this. I want you to go back to your house. I want you to go back to your family. And I want you to go back to your friends, and I want you to tell them the story. I want you to tell them a different story. I want you to tell them the story of what God's done for you. I want you to tell them the story of how Yahweh stepped into your life and broke the chains. I want you to tell them the story of how Jesus confronted and met your demons on the beach. And then he took charge of those demons. As you gave him authority in your life, Jesus stepped in with authority in your life. I want you to go tell that story. I want you to tell that story, and I want you to tell it over and over and over and over. I want you to tell everybody that you see. I want you to tell everybody that you sit down and you eat a chicken leg with. I want you to tell everybody that you're going to encounter. Jesus told this man to go do what? To go tell a story. Go home and tell a story. See, freedom isn't just for your benefit, it's also for someone else's belief. Freedom isn't just for your benefit, it's also for someone else's belief. What is that story that he's rewriting in your life? That's why we've been doing this. That's why we've been talking about this. That's why all these tags up here, what is it? It's somebody's story. Many of these tags up here, they're already tags that you've written. And what are you doing? Why are we doing this every week? Because I am trying to get in your head that Jesus is rewriting your story. Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. Every day, every hour, every time that we submit to Jesus, Jesus is rewriting our story. Every time he steps in to confront our demons, every time he steps in to confront the things that want to consume us, he is rewriting the story in our life. And so this morning, I want you to take that tag, and I just want you to ask this. What's been squatting in your life, in your soul, right? What is those squatters that come in and they take over? What's that thing that's trying to come in and take over in your life? What are the voices that have tried to rename you, right? What are those things that you've heard and those things that's just trying to speak lies to you and trying to rename you? Where have you felt most consumed by shame and by habits and by addiction? What is that? This morning, I want you to just write that on that tag. You wrote on one side, no trespassing, and now I want you to write on the other side of that tag, I just want you to begin to write the things that you don't want trespassing in your life. Those things that are trying to take over. Those thoughts that the enemy is trying to plant in your head. Those lies that he wants to get you to believe. I want you to just begin to acknowledge that. I just want you to begin to identify that and put that and say, this right here is what I'm saying, it has no place in my life. This right here, I'm putting up the no trespassing sign in my life. Today, today, you know what today is? Today is eviction day, okay? That's what today is. Today is about us surrendering to Jesus' authority, and today is eviction day. And what needs to be evicted in your life? What needs to be evicted in your heart? I want you to stand with me. Somebody can come play. See, today is eviction day. Or you might say it this way, it might be transfer of ownership day, right? Transfer of ownership to the rightful owner. Transfer of ownership to the rightful owner. And you know who the owner is? It ain't you. It ain't you. Who's the rightful owner? The one who created you.